Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, day part two is the college football matrix. Really enjoy talking to Dave over the years. Got good stuff for us. I got to know what he's doing. Dave Bartu, what are you doing today?
Dude, brother John, I'm working hard. I'm working hard right now. It's NFL draft time, and so with our new athleticism modeling, we got a lot of NFL GMs, assistant GMs, bouncing guys off of us right now because a lot of them are really interested in maximizing undrafted free agents, and so. We have some advanced athleticism modeling that we've done for the NFL.
I love that. So give me an idea. For our listeners who don't know, Matrix Analytical and the College Football Matrix, that's what you go by on Twitter. And when did this become a business for you? Because I know it started off as a hobby.
Yeah, it was messing around. It became a business when we finally figured out a way to get paid to do work. Right. You know, I mean, it started as a serious hobby just from the standpoint of the narrative of what do you have to recruit at to win a national title? You know, I was a Duck alum. I had Duck season tickets. And back in 2007, 2008, I wanted to start answering that question. And then it's just one number after another. And, you know, all the recruiting stuff had been temporarily dropped, and we moved into coaching analytics. And that's when it really took off from a private standpoint, you know, working with head coaches, working with chief of staff, athletic directors on building college football staffs. And then a couple of years ago, that morphed into, well, we build NFL staffs, and there's a big reason why you saw a lot of NFL guys moving from college to the NFL this year. We were a huge part of that. So we'd been working in coaching, and that's been the bread and butter. But one of our GMs put us down this idea of athleticism, and it's turning into a national thing for not just NFL players, high school, middle school, grade school. We're really going to redefine athleticism and recruiting for boys and girls nationally because of this.
Give me an idea, because your CAT system, help us understand what is the CAT.
Okay, so the CAT, so what happened is this GM for one of the NFL clubs was like, hey, is there a minimum level of athleticism? We were talking one day, minimum level of athleticism I need when I'm drafting a guy. And so we did the math. It's all physics, right? If you have somebody's 10, 20, 40, you've got their cone, you got their bench press, you got all of these things, it tells you how strong the overall body is. And so we came up with a bench line of athleticism in the NFL. And then we started thinking, well, shouldn't all sports have this, right? The Ducks, the Beavers, the Huskies, the Portland State Vikings, right? You know, you know, George Fox Bruins, the Forest Grove Vikings, they all have baselines in there somewhere. And so what we did is we took the NFL model, and we have been able to apply it because of all the data out there on growth charts for boys. Is if you have an athlete of 7 to 22 years old, we can adjust it for their age to tell you what kind of athlete you have. So bottom line is if you can score over 70 in our CAT test, the combine athleticism test, if you score over 70, you are on pace to be a D1 athlete. And so that's what we're trying to do, is bring subjectivity to athletes, bring subjectivity to parents, because parents, I mean, you've heard it a million times, John, right? Is my kid a D1 athlete? Can my kid play D1 sports, D2 sports, D3 sports? And it was all about film and eye tests and those kind of things. And this brings subjectivity to that whole concept. So it also helps coaches too. So we see it as a huge tool across the nation. And we see it as such a big tool that We're actually rolling out an app. You'll be able to get it on Android. You'll be able to get it on Apple. And whether you're a coach and you want to do all the combines for your team or you're an individual, you'll be able to use this thing, and it will tell you what you're on track for if you're interested in college athletics.
So coaches generally will try to evaluate on tape. They will maybe go to a camp or, you know, go to a hold their own camp and invite players. But does this give them some uniform way to kind of discern between two recruits or a minimum level of recruit in addition to the parents who are going, hey, is my kid a D1 athlete? How will coaches use this?
Well, okay, let's look at it from how about from the high school level? Okay, there's the first high school that's actually going to do a matrix analytical combine. How about that? That's funny as heck, right? I mean, so they're going to do a combine at their school, and it's not just going to be for the football team. It is going to be for all of their sports. And so we've given them the instructions on how to do the testing, and they're going to go through it, and everybody's going to get a score. So from a coaching standpoint, it depends on your level of coaching, okay? Let's say you are a Trent Bray at Oregon State, right? Now, if everybody in the state of Oregon does this free test, and it's designed, folks, if you're at home, if you're sitting at home and listening to this, you're like, I'm in Hermiston, or I'm in Lakeview, or I'm in a place you can't do it. No, that's one of the reasons we designed it this way, is everybody can do it. You can do this at home. You don't have to go to camp to be found. You just got to go through the 10 exercises. Okay. So it opens it up to every, because John, you know, not every kid can afford camp, you know, and not all of them can get there. I mean, if you're in North Powder, if you're in Baker, how do you get to a football camp, even if you're a great athlete, to be seen by Oregon or Oregon State or Portland State? You can't, right? Not anymore. The data comes and finds you. And so from a coaching standpoint, for a Trent Bray, I could bring him everybody in Oregon. And if we know what the baseline is to play football athletically for Oregon State, well, let's say there's 6,000 kids that have scored, but only 300 of them are above a 66, which is what you need to play at Oregon State. Well, now it becomes very easy in terms of efficiency for him to go, I'm going to focus on everybody above 66. So from a coaching standpoint, the efficiency obviously is there. The other thing is, so often you have parents, now you have agents coming to coaches, you have high school coaches going, you know, Trent, hey, Dan, I got a D1 player for you, you know, and you really can't turn them away, because what if they turn out to be pretty good and people find out, well, you just ignored them. That's not great. Well, now what these coaches can do is they can just simply go, what's your CAT score? And if you have one, then I can go to a Dan, I can go to a Trent, I can go to all the coaches we work with, and just go, here's all your guys, and here's what they score, right? And so it brings that subjectivity there. It also brings some reality to parents, good and bad, right? A lot of parents dream of, I got a D1 athlete. The numbers might say otherwise. So it goes both ways when it comes down to that subjectivity.
Dave Bartu is with us, Matrix Analytical. How do you get enough sample size? How do you get people to buy into this?
Well, number one, we started, like I said, with the NFL because it was the most readily available data. So there was over 4,000 guys that we had full combine on. Every single exercise that you could do, everything could be measured. So we had 4,000 guys in the NFL. So we know that 96% of NFL rosters score greater than 70 on our CAT. Okay, that's our baseline. And then, so when we were looking at, well, how do we figure out 18-year-olds and 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds? And there's a ton of data out there on boys' athletic development. Tons of it. We have over 50,000 kids over an 8-year study that we got from a professor, a kinesiology professor at Michigan State. And he's like, here's growth charts at every age for American boys. And so, you know, we have 50,000 data points right now. So when people go, well, how do you do it by age? That's how it's backed, right? What we don't have is a lot of people doing it right now. So in talking to you, I'm also hoping to talk to everybody that's listening right now. If you have an athlete, reach out to me. I'll send you everything you need. But, you know, and so over time, we're just going to collect more and more data. Where we're really lacking data, where America lacks data, John, is in girls sports. There's no on three. There's no 247. There's no rivals recruiting. There's nothing on them. The only country that has done any athleticism testing for girls is in Canada. And we have about 2,000 reports on athleticism. But we feel this is a great time. You know, you had Caitlin Clark make her run. We've had women's sport being at the front, people talking about it. And this is a way to not lose that momentum. So, you know, the people I really – look, I got tons of boys' data. We're going to get all of them over time. But if you're a girl dad out there, mom, and you want to have your kids athletically tested as well and start getting into the national pool and get a number, hit me up. I can't wait to collect this data and start learning about athleticism in America for girls.
How do people get in touch with you? How do they get the kit?
You can follow me on Twitter, CFB Matrix, right? My text line, you can shoot me a text with your email. You can send it to 971-217-8419. Don't abuse it, please, folks. Be nice. Go ahead and use that number. I've never, look, John, I love people. I believe in them. Honestly, I have put that number out even on Feinbaum. I have never gotten one bad thing texted at me from anybody. So I'm really comfortable giving that out. But if I don't get right back to you, I can say be patient. This is a new system. Once the app is out, people will just be able to download it for free going forward. But we want to get this going right now. And so if people want to get a hold of me, that's the way to do it, 971-217-8419.
Give me an idea, you know, as you're talking about getting measured, I thought about other applications for this. I think there's a lot of regular folks out there in offices. You know, you hear people jokingly say, we're going to hold a combine and see who the best athlete in the office is. Is there a potential here that the regular public could use this stuff and just stay in shape? Right? You like measure what I did last year versus next year? You tell me.
Yeah, well, absolutely. From a staying in shape, you'll be able to do it, right? So the app for adults is you'll be able to go in, do the system, and you'll get a score. And so if you want to rescore yourself to see if your athleticism is improving or regressing, you'll be able to do that. But the funniest thing is I was talking to my son and I was like, so if I get a baseline on the ducks, let's say it's 69.4. I said, how bad do you want to do the test on the app to see if you got it? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh man, the first time that app comes out, I'm getting together with all my guys and we are absolutely going to see what we got. So that's, I think that's one of the fun parts of this is, once we establish these baselines, well, the NFL baseline is 70. I mean, if you're listening right now and you think you can score a 70, hell, if you think you can score above 60, good luck.
But what are we talking about? What are we talking about for the exercises? Give us an example.
Oh, most of it you can do at home or on the track, right? So you are going to have your vertical jump. You are going to have your broad jump. You are going to have a seated 3-kilo medicine ball throw, right? That is going to show the force of your upper body. You're gonna time your 10, 20, and 40 yard sprints. You got your height, your weight. Your weight's very, very important in this process. And so these are all very simple things that can be done at your high school on your track. You just need somebody with a stopwatch. And you can do push-ups too. If you can't do the medicine ball, then you can do push-ups. No bench press. Not everybody has a 225-pound bench press easily available, and little kids can't do that. So it can be done anywhere in the country. So I'm excited about finding those kids. I found a kid too. There's a kid out in he is 47 miles northeast of Tulsa, Oklahoma. 10 years old, scored at 83. Whoa. Anything above 80 is super elite, right? And so it's age adjusted. So I'm not saying he's an NFL athlete. Don't get me wrong there, but it's age adjusted. And, but this kid, and I happen to know him from a friend of a friend of a friend, and he's a kid of a farmer. This kid is never going to go to a camp. Okay. Loves playing football. He's never going to go to camp. He's never get seen by rivals. He's never get seen by 247. And this kid is a D1 athlete. Absolutely. You know, and, you know, it's an exciting thing for us to be able to get more exposure for more kids and not have to spend all this money on camps and teams. Because I don't know about you, man, but I believe you got it or you don't. From a genetic standpoint, all these traveling teams, year-round sports, that's another thing. What we're finding early on is kids, because part of our questionnaire is, are you in year-round sport? Do you do the same thing? Are you already specializing? Man, I'm telling you, it is amazing the difference in kids' ages. We're starting to see it. You specialize. Your athleticism just isn't as much as a kid that's doing all the sports.
Interesting. That's interesting. Can I have you put on your analytics hat for a second? Again, we're talking to Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix, Matrix Analytics. All right, I'm going to ask you some questions. I have not prepared you for the answers here, but I just want to spitball on these with you. Somebody asked me, how do I think Oregon in particular and Washington will schedule non-conference games with an expanded playoff going to 12 teams being in the Big Ten? Do you see them scheduling softer, stronger, or about the same as they currently do moving forward?
Well, my advice would be schedule as soft as possible. Absolutely Charmin soft as possible. Because, look, you're already – Oregon is going to be slated to play – Oregon and Washington, they're going to play each other. They're going to get Michigan. They're going to get Ohio State. They're going to get Penn State. They're going to get USC. They're going to get three or four top 20 recruiters anyways, right? And the number – there's two things about going into the playoffs. I get that it's expanded, so it's more opportunity. And I know there's probably fans going, man, I want a lot of good games. They'll still get in the playoffs at 10-2. Yes, they will, but their seeding will be worse, and they'll be more beat up, right? To win a national title now, you're going to have to play 16 games, right? It wasn't too long ago, John. You go 11-0 and win a national title. You know, now you're talking 16 games. It's not about just getting in. It's about physically surviving it. And because we have free agency right now, it's not NIL, it's free agency, okay? Because we have free agency, teams' depths are shot. The depth isn't there anymore. National champions going forward won't hold a candle to past champion because the depth is gone. So if your depth is gone, you have got to survive those first 12, 13 games with as good a health as possible. So they may schedule tougher. I think that is a really dumb idea if you have national championship aspirations. Schedule those three non-conference games as Charmin soft as you can.
Dave, the building of staffs, we see players that are jumping around in the portal. We see coaches that jump around. I'm just curious, you study such things. You see Jed Fish, Kalen DeBoer, Brent Brennan, Chip Kelly going to Ohio State. Who got better as a coaching staff in your mind, or whose coaching staff went elite from, you know, maybe from very good to elite?
Let's see here. I don't think there was any change. I think Arizona took a step back. I don't think Arizona's better on the numbers. I know Washington is absolutely not better. That was, Washington had a top, you and I talked about it on your show last year. They were a top five staff walking into the season last year. And they lost all those guys, so that was not replaceable.
How about Chip Kelly going to Ohio State? Like, you know, at face value, we all talk about it from Chip Kelly's perspective, but how much will he mean to Ohio State in your mind? Or can you, you know, has he been out of the play calling situation for a while as a true coordinator so long that you need some wait and see there?
Yeah, well, but I think he was calling the plays the entire time at UCLA. Has he been out? See, that's the thing. A lot of people go, oh, Chip can't coach no more. He lost it. No, you're talking about Chip, the head coach, who can't staff a defense. You're talking about Chip, the head coach, who can't recruit his way out of a wet paper bag. But Chip, the offensive coordinator, was awesome at Oregon. He had two top 25 scoring efficiency offenses at UCLA the last couple of years. He was good in the NFL at play calling. He doesn't have to be the head coach at Ohio State. Ohio State's offensive side of the football, coaching-wise, is unbelievable. I am so excited to see. And they have a two-headed running back monster there. And you and I both know how much Chip loves to run the football. So I think that is going to be great for college football. I think he's going to be happy there. I think he's going to be awesome at Ohio State. Ohio State, if they don't win the national title this year, it'll be because of that offensive line. On the offensive side of the ball, that offensive line coach is the weak link there. So Ohio State still has a great staff. I don't know if they got better or worse overall because they shuffled in and out a lot of guys. We know that Oregon State took a big fall down. They had one of the best top 25 staffs in the country. It's now at Michigan State. Probably the only one on the West Coast to improve is Oregon, right? Because they had a good offense. They had a good defense. They kept both their coordinators, right? Lapoy's grade went up. Stein's grade went up. They kept those guys. They did have, I believe, a little bit of turnover, but not much overall. Dan's number improved. A lot of people point to USC. Yeah, you know something? They replaced Grins, but they replaced it with a guy that's called plays for 12 games. Yeah, I don't think it's that. It could be great, but on paper, it's not that great. So, but I think mostly overall on the West Coast, though, you had a lot of downgrades in overall staffing ability across the board.
I am looking at this upcoming season, and obviously 1,600 players in the basketball portal, 1,000 plus in the football portal. It's just ridiculous. You know, have you taken a look at, you know, players who are getting in the portal? What percentages are coming out of it with a better situation? I mean, is that, would that be difficult to measure, or do you have anything anecdotal on that? You know, Damian Martinez leaving Oregon State for who knows where. A lot of risk in this stuff.
There is a lot of risk in the stuff. There's a lot of risk in the stuff. What a lot of fans don't know is a lot of players are going where their agent's telling them to go. I've heard plenty of kids say, I didn't want to go there, but they offered me an extra 10 grand. My agent made me do it. My agent made me go there to play. So I think there's a number of things. I think one of the first things you have to look at, and this is true in the NFL, okay, we've done the numbers for our NFL GMs, and we've done the numbers for our college football coaches, okay? When you're looking at a transfer, look at where he's transferring from and to. You want to take the guy that transferred up. You do not want to mess with the guy that transferred down. The guy that transferred from Oregon to Portland State, avoid that guy. Portland State to Oregon, I want that guy. He's felt pain, right? You know, and so take a look at these guys. In the NFL, guys that have a transfer down, their production has dropped every year for the last 8 years. The GMs that we work with, it is a major red flag. If you transfer in college football for any other reason, if you transfer for money, and if you're transferring down, you are going to get red flagged. They don't care how good you are athletically. The mentals for you are probably shot. So when everybody's looking at this transfer portal stuff, look at the guys that move up. If it's lateral moves, that's okay, but you're looking for guys that are moving up. You do not want your program taking guys that are moving down the ladder, because those guys seem to fall on their face an awful lot.
Dave Bartu is the College Football Matrix. If you want to get in touch with him, CFB Matrix on Twitter, Matrix Analytical. Dave, I wish you the best with this project. And I can't wait to when you get the app. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to see where I'm at. See if I'm
see what you got, John.
I'm a D1 guy right now. We'll see. I love it. Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Dave Bartu. Some parting thoughts coming up.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.